ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वो श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 4 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द अट्रॉसिटीज ऑफ किंग कंसा टेक्स्ट नंबर 43। श्री शुक उवाच एवं दुर्मंत्रि बिकंस सह सम्मंत्र्य दुर्मतिहि ब्रह्महिंसां हितं मेने कालपाशावृतो सुरः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एससी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: Shukadev Goswami continued, "Thus, having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of good intelligence because he was a demon, desired to persecute the saintly persons, the Brahmanas, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune." Purport: Srila Lochandas Thakur has sung, "Apana karma bunjaye shamana kahaye Lochanadas." Instead of taking good instructions from the sages and the shastras, godless non-devotees act whimsically according to their own plans. Actually, no one has his own plans because everyone is bound by the laws of nature and must act according to his tendency in material conditional life. Therefore, one must change one's own decision and follow the decision of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Then one is rescued from punishment by Yamaraj. Kamsa was not uneducated. It appears from his talks that Vasudev and Devaki It appears from his talks with Vasudev and Devaki that he knew all about the laws of nature. But because of his association with bad ministers, he could not make a clear decision about his welfare. Therefore, the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, sadhu sanga sarva shastri koi, lava matra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoi. If one desires his real welfare, he must associate with the devotees and the saintly persons, and in this way rectify the material condition of his life. So today is a very auspicious day of the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. Actually, I'm completely unqualified to speak either on Jiva Goswami or on Srimad Bhagavatam. So I seek the blessings of the devotees before attempting to speak something on this particular verse. And we will try to glorify Srila Jiva Goswami a little bit. So in this, today we are reading from this 10th canto, 4th chapter. So here, this verse, Shukadev Goswami is saying that after Kamsa heard the advice given by his ministers, he has actually made the decision to kill all the Brahmanas and saintly persons. And he has made a decision to kill all the children who were born the last 10 days. Because actually, Kamsa, when he heard the voice of Yogamaya, when Yogamaya appeared, when she assumed her original form as Durga, she told Kamsa that the child which is actually born to kill you is already born elsewhere. So when actually after hearing from Yogamaya, Kamsa's consciousness got a little bit transformed because he was wonderstruck that his sister has given birth to goddess Durga, So he actually expresses, he developed appreciation towards his, towards Devaki and Vasudev, and then he actually released them, and he actually begged forgiveness from them. So in one sense his consciousness got a little bit changed, but after that, when he summoned his ministers, they have given this wrong advice, which we saw in the last several verses. The ministers actually told Kamsa that still you can kill your enemy, we can still kill all the children who are born in the last 10 days, and we can and not only that, we should actually kill all the brahmanas and saintly persons, because Lord Vishnu is the root of everyone, but the root of Lord Vishnu is the brahmanas and saintly persons. So if we kill the brahmanas and the devotees, Vaishnavas, so then by that we can actually kill Lord Vishnu, because they are actually, they are the parts of the Supreme Lord. So if we kill them, so we can actually, Lord Vishnu can be killed easily. So in this way the ministers gave advice to Kamsa, but Kamsa, he actually succumbs to their advice, and then he actually decides to follow their advice by actually giving orders to his soldiers to kill all the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. So here it is mentioned that here Kamsa has basically made a wrong decision. The causes of the in this particular verse, there are three causes of the wrong decision which Kamsa has made are mentioned. Firstly, Kamsa had a bad association. His association, he was actually associating with the demoniac ministers. And secondly, Kamsa himself was a demon. And thirdly, it's mentioned, Kala Pasha Avruto Asura. Because he was bound by the laws of Yamaraj. He was actually bound by the laws of material nature. So these three are the causes mentioned for his wrong decision. So we'll try to discuss, we'll try to focus on this particular one about this bad association, and then we will try to speak something on other things also. So Kamsa, he had this bad association of his ministers. So we see in the scriptures, both the positive and the negative processes are mentioned in order to make advancement in the spiritual life. Just like when a person visits any genuine doctor, like a doctor doctor actually prescribes the do's and the don'ts. So if a doctor does not prescribe the don'ts, thinking that he will lose the patient, then it may actually create havoc for the patient. So any genuine doctor actually prescribes both the do's and the don'ts. And even any genuine patient should actually expect that doctor will prescribe certain do's and certain don'ts, which may not be actually palatable to his own desire, which may not be to his liking. Like for example, like I always tell this in the Parikshit Maharaj, at the end of the first canto, when he actually meets Shukadeva Goswami, he actually asks this question, please tell me what a person should hear, chant and remember at the time of death and in all circumstances. And please also tell me that what one should not hear, chant and remember. He is actually asking both the questions, what a person is supposed to do and what a person should not do. So this is a sign of a genuine seeker, that he wants to know both the positive and the negative processes. In fact, that is when Shukadeva Goswami, when he answers Parikshit Maharaj's question, he first tells like what he should avoid. In the first few verses of the second canto, he says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Ninam Santi Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedina. That persons who are actually devoid of Atma Tattva, who are not interested in self-realization, they have thousands of subject matters for hearing. Persons who are actually attached to the mundane family life, There are actually thousands of subject matters for hearing. So in this way, in the first few verses, he is actually indicating like what a person should not hear, chant and remember. One should not hear and chant and remember those topics which are discussed by people who are not interested in self-realization. Actually, such subject matters are thousands of subject matters. So he's not mentioning one by one. He's saying there are thousands of subject matters. Such subject matters are discussed by people who are devoid of Atma Tattva. And then he mentions like what a person is supposed to do. And even we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4th canto, actually from the third canto, Maitreya Rishi is describing the creation of Lord Brahma. The third canto, 28th chapter, he describes that how Swayambhu Manu is born of Lord Brahma and he is one of the most celebrated sons of Lord Brahma. So then, when he describes that, Vidura wants to know about the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. He wants to know the character and qualities of the different kings, the sons and grandsons of Swayambhu Manu. So first, he is asking about the daughters of Swayambhu Manu. Swayambhu Manu had 3 daughters and 2 sons. So first, Maitreya Rishi describes the daughters of Swayambhu Manu and the dynasty which are born of the daughters of Swayambhu Manu, Akuti, Prasuti and Devahuti. Then after describing the daughters of Swayambhu Manu, then he actually goes to describe the sons of Swayambhu Manu, who are actually Priyavrat Maharaj and Uttanupad. So Uttanupad, Priyavrat Maharaj is the eldest son and Uttanupad is the younger son. But interestingly, usually when a person describes a dynasty, one should first describe the first son, his character and activities, and the second son, and the dynasty from the first son, the dynasty of the second son. This is like the chronological order, this is like the general etiquette which one should follow when a person describes a dynasty. But in this case, Maitreya Rishi, he actually, what to speak of describing Priyavrat Maharaj, in fact, he directly jumps to the description of the grandson of Swayambhu Manu. Like, he doesn't even describe the younger son, he directly goes on to describe the grandson of Swayambhu Manu, that is Dhruva Maharaj. So, because, like, here, in one sense, he is actually breaking the etiquette. But why is he breaking the etiquette? Because he is actually so much attracted by the qualities of Dhruva Maharaj and he is so much eager to glorify the character of Dhruva Maharaj that he directly jumps to the description of Dhruva Maharaj before actually describing the qualities of Priyavrat Maharaj. In fact, that comes later in the 5th canto, 1st chapter. So this is the eagerness of Maitreya Rishi. But the interesting thing is, before starting the description of Dhruva Maharaj, in the 4th canto, 8th chapter, he describes some of the other sons of Lord Brahma. Like, he is actually describing the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. First he describes the 3 daughters of Swayambhu Manu. So now he should directly start describing the sons of Swayambhu Manu. But before describing the sons of Swayambhu Manu, Maitreya Rishi describing the some of the other sons of Lord Brahma. So why does he describe the some of the other sons of Lord Brahma, and who are those sons of Lord Brahma which he describes? Which sons does he describe? So he describes some of the other sons of Lord Brahma. He says, Lord Brahma gave birth to irreligion and falsity, adharma and mrisha. And from irreligion and falsity, from them, Damba and Maya were born. So actually they were brothers and sisters. So Prabhupada says that usually brothers and sisters should not get married. But he says that unnatural combination of sex life can be possible only when there is adharma. So sometimes in Kali Yuga, as it becomes more and more degraded, sometimes people justify certain immoral activities, but actually they are actually signs of adharma. And irreligion and falsity, they gave birth to Damba and Maya. And Damba and Maya means basically bluffing and cheating. And they gave birth to greed and Nikriti or cunning. And greed and cunningness, they gave birth to Krodha, anger and Himsa or envy. And then in this way describing, then Krodha and Himsa gave birth to Kali, quarrel and harsh speech, Durukti. And they gave birth to Mrityu and Bhiti, like that. So then after describing some of these other sons of Lord Brahma who are born of Adharma, Maitreya Rishi says, I have actually summarily described the causes of devastation. He says, all these sons, the principles represented by these sons, they are actually the causes of devastation. And one who hears these causes of devastation, he achieves piety in his life and all his sins will be removed. So then after that, he actually starts the description of Dhruva Maharaj. So why does he describe some of these other sons of Lord Brahma before describing the character of Dhruva Maharaj? The reason which is mentioned is, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that this description is purifying because by hearing these other sons of Lord Brahma who are actually born of Adharma, one can actually avoid these items. Srila Prabhupada says, in his purport, he says that before speaking of the pious descendants of Swayambhu Manu, before describing the most pious king in the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu, that is Dhruva Maharaj, whom we are supposed to follow, in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj. So before describing the most pious king in the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu, he is describing the other sons of Lord Brahma whom we are not supposed to follow. So basically the idea is, we see that any genuine spiritual master, he describes both what is to be done and what is not to be done. What are the principles to be followed, whom we are supposed to follow, and what are the principles whom we are not supposed to follow, which are not supposed to be followed. So this is the nature of a genuine seeker and the genuine spiritual master. I give the example. People say that, we find certain statements in the scriptures which condemn about certain irreligious principles, about meat eating, intoxication, which actually criticizes those people who are not interested in self-realization. But sometimes people say, why does scripture use such heavy words, like killer of the soul? But it is actually a completely wrong expectation. It's like going to a doctor and expecting that he will give son property as a medicine. We have the wrong expectation actually. Similarly, if you are coming to hear from the scriptures, if you are coming to hear from the sadhus, then we can't expect all the time some goody-goody words or something like that. Because any genuine spiritual spiritual master, he'll describe both the do's and the don'ts, and which may not be to our liking, but they are mentioned in the mood of compassion. And we see, even in the fifth canto, Jadabharat, when he was actually giving instructions to Maharaj Rahogan, he says in the fifth canto, 12th chapter, that last verse of the chapter, he says, Tasman naro asanga susanga jata jnana sine heva vivrikna moha harim tadiha katana shrutabhyam labda smritir yat atipara madvana. He says, Tasman naro asanga susanga jata. So therefore, one should have the association of devotees and one should be detached from all material things. And then he says, the result of association with the devotees and not associating with matter is a person develops transcendental knowledge, which is like a sword. And by that sword of transcendental knowledge, one can cut the illusion which is very huge, like an elephant. And then he says, and when a person comes to the association of devotees, when a person hears and chants the glories of the Lord, then a person, regains his original consciousness and goes back to the Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada mentions that both the positive and the negative processes are mentioned in this regard. Tasman naro asanga susanga jata. Like, association with devotees and avoiding the association of non-devotees. Both are mentioned. And so many times Srila Prabhupada, he speak against scientists and he would speak against Mayavadis and the bogus gurus in order to break the faith of people in those things which are actually not favorable. Sometimes he would speak in order to establish faith in the process of spirituality. Sometimes he would speak in order to break the faith of the people in those unfavorable things, because both are important. So in fact, like if you see the character of Jadabharat, it's mentioned that like Jadabharat, like Rahugan was surprised that Jadabharat was such a self-realized soul, but yes, he was acting like some madman, some crazy fellow. So Jadabharat was mentioning, actually, because I wanted to avoid the association of non-devotees, that is why I am acting like this, in this way. Because by the grace of the Lord, I am having the remembrance of how I fell down from the position of Bharat Maharaj. So now I want to avoid the association of non-devotees, because he was surrounded by people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. That is why he was acting like a dumb and deaf man. So when somebody would speak to him, he would behave in such a way that those people will not have enthusiasm to speak to him again. So he was acting in that way. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of the purport, he says that like the lesson which we learned from the character of Jadabharat is, like, one should strictly avoid the association, avoid the company of non-devotees, even though they may be like one's family members. Because Jadabharat was born in the family of the descendants of Angira Rishi. His family members were like, nonsense, they were like Brahmanas, they were like good pious people, but they were not interested in devotional service. But because Jadabharat, he was so cautious of Maya, because of that he actually wanted to avoid the association of even his family members, because they were actually non-devotees. Like, but when we hear such statements, like these statements may sound little heavy, that like Prabhupada says one should avoid the association of non-devotees even though they may be one's family members. But sometimes a person may actually take these statements, one may justify one's behavior which is resulting from intolerance. Sometimes one may say, my family members are not devotees, and because I have to follow the principle of avoiding the association of non-devotees. And then actually the fact may be we may be intolerant, and because of that we may behave harshly with our family members or our near and dear ones or the friends. But basically the idea is that when we associate, association with the non-devotees means like we cannot avoid the association of non-devotees. We cannot avoid talking with people who are not interested in self-realization. But basically Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that one should not have the six kinds of dealings with affection towards them. Like for example, we may have to talk with people who may not be non-devotees. But then, like even Kamsa was talking with people, but Kamsa was putting trust in those ministers. So similarly, when we encounter, in our day-to-day life, there may be certain people who may give us advice on their own, or we may have to talk to them. But we should not actually put trust on them, like when they give advice, when they are actually not interested in self-realization, they are non-devotees. And another principle is, like sometimes we may be associating with people who may not be non-devotees, who may be non-devotees, but still, for the higher principle of cooperation, for some higher causes, we may have to still cooperate with them. Like for example, like I was reading this 10th canto, 2nd chapter, like one of the beginning verse, it inspired me very much. It's mentioned that Kamsa, after he heard from Narada Muni, that many demons, Narada Muni mentioned to Kamsa that many demigods are actually taking birth in the family of Yadu Vamsha, and they are actually planning to assist Lord Vishnu in his mission to kill you and all the demons. So when Kamsa heard this, then he started torturing all the members of the Yadu Vamsha. So in fear of Kamsa, the many devotees, many Yadavas, they actually flew the Kamsa's kingdom. They took shelter of other kingdoms like Kurus, Panchalas, Kekayas, etc. But then it is mentioned, but some of the devotees, they chose to stay with Kamsa. In fact, it is mentioned, Yete tam anurandana gyataya paryupasate. They were actually exactly following the policy of Kamsa, and some of these devotees, they stayed with Kamsa, they were following the policies of Kamsa, and they were actually agreeing with Kamsa. So this is an interesting thing, because Mahaprabhu actually defines a Vaishnava as Asatsangatyaga Yei Vaishnavachar. One who does not associate with non-devotees, he calls him as a Vaishnava. But here, that is the definition of a Vaishnava, but some of these devotees like Akrura, they were actually associating with Kamsa, they were following the policies of Kamsa. Like if you see, Kamsa was a person who was just waiting for Krishna's appearance so that he can kill Krishna. And these devotees, why were they actually associating with Kamsa? Because they were actually eager to witness the pastimes of Krishna. So they knew that if they stay with Kamsa, they will have the chance to witness the pastimes of Krishna. So these devotees, they were waiting for the appearance of Krishna, and they were actually cooperating with a person who was waiting for Krishna to be born so that he can kill Krishna. So there are like two completely opposite poles. But because these devotees were actually focused on the higher principle, because of their eagerness to witness the pastimes of Krishna, because of that they were actually even able to cooperate with Kamsa. So Srimad Bhagavatam always contains such extreme examples of cooperation. But I was thinking, like, at least in our case, many times when we stay with somebody, like, we may have to just cooperate with another devotee who may not be a demon. He may be just chanting 16 rounds, we may not like certain habits of the people, but still, he may be coming to hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, he may be attending Mangalati, he may be doing so many services. So the point is that when we are focused on the higher principle, a person can cooperate with even with a demon. So, but when a person is not focused on the higher principle, one cannot cooperate even with another devotee. Or sometimes some of our family members may not be devotees, but they may not be like demons like Kamsa who are like waiting to kill Krishna. But still, if you are focused on the higher principle, we can actually cooperate even with our family members, although they may not be devotees. So that is why one has to understand this principle of avoiding the association of non-devotees. But that does not mean that that one can justify one harsh dealing with others which is resulting from intolerance. So this is another point. But another thing which I wanted to talk about is, this asat sangat tyaga. So association of non-devotees, in fact Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions a different categories of non-devotees. He says mayavadis, sense gratifiers, those who are attached to sense enjoyment, etc. But in Kali Yuga, like this asat sangat tyaga, like in Kali Yuga, the category extends even beyond. Like for example, in Kali Yuga, like we have to include even like internet, Facebook, also in the category of asat. Or we have to include even our own mind in the category of asat. Sometimes like we may be avoid the association of non-devotees, but then we may be associating with our own mind, which is actually which is a non-devotee. Like for example, like I was mentioning, like in a cricket match, like sometimes, suppose if a batsman is like hitting a sixer, consecutive sixers and fours, then usually we would expect many times a person gets out immediately. If a person hits 2-3 sixers and fours, because usually what happens is when a person hits 2-3 sixers and fours, the person becomes overconfident and then he thinks that, oh, I can hit any ball. And then he puts so much faith in the mind that he can hit any ball, and then he attempts to hit any ball and then he gets out. So similarly, like this principle of like overconfidence in the mind. Like for example, like in the fourth canto, like when Dhruva Maharaj is fighting with the Yakshas, like if we read the description, when Dhruva Maharaj was fighting, at one point of time, Dhruva Maharaj was the only person on his side. He went all alone, and when he started fighting, some lakhs of Yakshas, they started fighting against Dhruva Maharaj. And they started like throwing, remember, like 3 arrows and 6 arrows at a time. And Dhruva Maharaj was so powerful that within a matter of time, he practically destroyed all the Yakshas. So many Yakshas were wounded, and within a matter of time, none of the Yakshas were seen in the battlefield. We read that chapter, 4th canto, 10th or 11th chapter. Practically none of the Yakshas were seen in the battlefield, and Dhruva Maharaj was fighting all alone, and he could actually defeat lakhs of Yakshas at a time. When he could not see any Yakshas on the battlefield, but at that time, Dhruva Maharaj had a desire to see the city of Yakshas called Alakapuri. But then he had a thought. He thought that no one knows the plans of this mystic Yakshas. So then he didn't enter the city of Alakapuri. So in one sense, like, he could have become overconfident because he was the only person fighting. He had defeated all the Yakshas. He could have directly entered the city of Alakapuri, but then he didn't actually trust his mind. He actually avoided entering the city of Yakshas. And true to his belief, then Yakshas, then they started exhibiting their mystic powers. And even, like, that's why great devotees, they never trust their mind. Like, even in this, we see in the 5th canto, Rishabhadev gives his instructions to his sons, 100 sons. And in fact, Shrudev Goswami mentions in one verse, Vairagya Lakshanam Paramahamsya Dharmam. He says the instructions of, he says that sannyasis who are no longer bounded by the fruitive activity and who have taken to devotional service, after all their material desires are completely vanquished, even such sannyasis, paramahamsas, even such people, they learn from these instructions of Rishabhadev. So Rishabhadev's instructions were meant even for the topmost sannyasis. So but then at the end of this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami gives a description. He says that Rishabhadev, out of transcendental love for the Supreme Lord Vasudev. Actually, Rishabhadev himself is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. But then Vishnu Chakravarti mentioned that because Even the other incarnations of Lord Krishna, they are fascinated by the Krishna, who is the source of all the incarnations. So Rishabhadev was meditating on Lord Krishna. And when, out of transcendental love for Lord Krishna, he started exhibiting different symptoms of ecstasy. And when he was having transcendental love for the Lord, then all the mystic powers, they automatically approached Rishabhadev. But then he mentioned, but Rishabhadev did not use those mystic powers. Then immediately, Parikshit Maharaj is asking a question that, like, Rishabhadev is such a pure soul, he's a supreme Lord. The use of mystic powers, like when a pure devotee uses his mystic powers, the mystic powers will not affect him. He can never get affected by these mystic powers. So why didn't Rishabhadev not use these mystic powers? So Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning, because Rishabhadev did not trust his mind. Just like a hunter will not trust the wild animal which he has caught. Although he has caught the animal, but still he will not actually trust his animal, because if he gives chance to the animal, the animal will can destroy him. Or he mentioned that one should not trust an unchaste wife, because an unchaste wife can kill even one's own husband. So basically the idea is, the point which is mentioned is, an advanced transcendentalist does not trust one's own mind, although he is on the high platform. And especially we see that Rishabhadev is exhibiting this quality after giving instructions which is meant even for the topmost Paramahamsas. Because when a person gives instructions which is appreciated even by the topmost Paramahamsas, one can actually become confident. One can become overconfident. But Rishabhadev is actually exhibiting the symptom that I don't want to trust my mind. Because of that, he did not actually utilize his mystic powers. So basically, this Asat Sangat Tyaga, it actually starts with not associating with our own mind. And even, one should include even these items like Facebook or internet. Not just the, like, so non-devotees. And we see that one may ask about, one may say, what is the, we will tell about one particular verse, since it is the disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. He actually mentions in one of his teaching about the importance of association of the devotees. In fact, although we may not talk much about the life of Jiva Goswami, but still, Prabhupada mentions in the purport in first canto, when we hear the words spoken by the pure devotees, that is actually equivalent to conversing with a great soul. He says that, Aho vayam janma brutadhyah asma, vriddhanu vriddhyapi viloma jata, daushkulyam adim vidunoti shigram, mahattamanam abhidana yoga. He says, when a person converses with a great soul, all the disqualifications which is resulting from one's low birth gets completely extinguished. And conversing with the great soul, he says that it also includes reading the books written by the great souls. So in one particular purport, which is quoted in the 10th canto, Jiva Goswami talks about the association of devotees. So when Muchukunda was offering prayers to the Lord Krishna, he says, Bhavapa vargo brahmato yada bhavech, janasya tar achyuta sat samagama, satsangamo yarhi tadaiva sadgatav paravareshe tvai jayate matihi. So here in this verse, Muchukunda is saying, when a person's material existence is completely finished, then a person associates with the devotees of the Lord. And when a person associates with the devotees of the Lord, and what is the result of that? Then a person becomes fixed in one's goal of life. A person becomes fixed in devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is the source of all causes and effects. Basically, he says, when a person's material existence is finished, then a person associates with the devotees. Then when the person associates with the devotees, then the devotion to the Lord is born in the heart of a person. So Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that although it is stated that when the material life ceases, then one attains the association of devotees, but actually it is the association of the devotees which that enables one to transcend the material existence. In the verse it is mentioned that the cessation of material existence is the cause and the effect is the association of the devotees. But actually, the cause is the association of the devotees and the effect is the cessation of material existence. But then Srila Jiva Goswami mentions, but sometimes a statement is made in which the logical order of cause and effect is reversed in order to emphasize by extreme assertion. And this is called as, he says, atishyokti. In order to emphasize the effect of a particular thing, in order to emphasize the effect, sometimes the effect is mentioned before the cause. The cause is the association of the devotees, but that is mentioned later, and the effect which is mentioned before. Basically, to emphasize the effect, so the effect is mentioned before the cause. So, and then he mentions, to express the swift action of a cause, one may assert the result before the cause. It means when a person associates with the devotees, a person becomes liberated from the material existence, a person becomes free from all the miseries. That happens so swiftly that in order to emphasize the swift action of a cause, the effect is mentioned before. Just like Sri Chaitanya Prabhu gave this example. When a person takes cyanide, when it just take a small drop of cyanide, but immediately a person dies. That acts so swiftly that a person dies immediately. So similarly, when a person comes in contact with the pure devotee of the Lord, that acts so swiftly that a person actually becomes freed from all the material existence. So in order to emphasize that, the cause effect is actually mentioned before the cause. Like Sulnath Radhanath Swami Maharaj was mentioning in a class, he said that in the case of wood, the energy of the sun is stored in the wood, and sometimes when wood goes below the earth, then it becomes coal. The same energy of the sun is stored in the coal, and when the coal is not taken from the earth, when it stays within the earth for a long time, then it becomes oil. So the same energy of the sun is stored in oil, but the energy of the sun which is stored in all these items, wood, coal or oil, they can be brought out when they come in contact with fire. So this energy of the sun is stored within them, but then we can perceive that energy of the sun which is stored within them when they come in contact with fire. So similarly, he mentioned that the love of Krishna is dormant within everyone's heart. But when a person associates with the devotees of the Lord, who are like fire, then this dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. In fact, in one of the writings, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami mentions, he says that, like, without the association of the devotees, even Vrindavan appears to be a vacant place. And Govardhan appears like a big python. And Radhakund appears like the mouth of a dreadful tiger. So, like, that is the, like, aspiration of the, even the great devotees. Like, a devotee gave this example. Like, Loknath Maharaj once mentioned, like, one should associate with the devotees in such a way. It was mentioning just like when a person goes to Kumbh Mela to take a bath. Suppose he reaches the final place to take a bath. At the last moment, If he decides not to take a bath, he cannot do so. Even if he decides not to take a bath, he'll be picked up by the people and then they will dump him in the water. So similarly, I was mentioning that one should actually associate with the devotees in such a way that even if a person decides to leave, that the devotees actually should not leave him. In that way, one should associate with him. So, but basically, and another thing which I wanted to mention is, what is the sign that a person has truly associated with the devotees? What is the sign a person has actually truly associated with the spiritual master or the pure devotees or the advanced Vaishnavas? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that real quality of our consciousness is not based on how we are actually in front of the deities or how we are in front of the guru or the senior Vaishnavas, but it actually depends on how we deal with other devotees in their absence. Sometimes one may associate apparently with the advanced devotees, but then we may be actually quarreling with other devotees. So that means we have never actually associated with the advanced devotees. That means if you have really associated with the advanced devotees, that means that will be reflected on how we deal with other devotees in their absence. Because he says that reverence, usually in the presence of advanced devotees, a person is in the mood of awe and reverence. He says that reverence does not really show what is deeply embedded in our consciousness. Because an advanced devotee can bring out eagerness in the heart of a person. He can influence good thoughts in a person because of his purity. But actually how we have assimilated his association depends on how we deal with other devotees, actually. In fact, so that is why His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj mentions that the association with the pure devotees, association of the devotees is not just with the pure devotees, but it is also with those devotees who have the aspiration of pure devotional service. In fact, I will just stop with this particular verse. In this fifth canto, when Rishabhadev is instructing his sons, at one point he says, Tasmat bhavantam hridayena jata. He says that all of you are sons, you are actually born from my heart. And all of you should worship your elder brother, Bharat. So then immediately, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is giving this dialogue. So then these other sons, they say to Rishabhadev, actually in the beginning of your instruction, you told us that we should actually give up the association of, we should give up the association of family members, we should not be attached to people on the material platform, we shouldn't be attached to family members and friends and relatives on the bodily platform. But now you are telling us to worship our brother. Why are you encouraging us to improve our family attachment? So then Rishabhadev is saying in response, actually I did tell that one should not associate with family members on the material platform, but I also told that one should actually associate with the great devotee. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur vimuktes. Because association with the devotee actually opens the door to liberation. But then, so Bharat is a great devotee, so you should actually worship him. But then in response, the sons of Rishabhadev, they say, but then Bharat Maharaj is actually equal to us. So how can we worship him? So Devamrita Maharaj says that in the association of advanced devotees, we see our mind through that advanced devotees. We see how we are filled with anatta through that advanced devotee. But then in the association of those who are equals, who may not be advanced, But we tend to see them through our mind. Sometimes a person may be speaking about Krishna, but then we may be thinking, oh, this person is having this such and such bad quality, so why should I hear from him? So we tend to see him through our mind. So these sons of Rishabhadevi are saying, why should I worship Bharat? Because he is equal to us. And then in response, Rishabhadevi is saying, do not see with your material vision. Do not see with your material intelligence, aklishta buddhya. See with your spiritual intelligence how Bharat Maharaj is highly advanced in his character. So then, the sons of Rishabhadevi, they say, we worship you because you are the Supreme Lord and you are our Father. And we worship the great sages. We serve the great sages like Narada Muni because service to them become the cause of devotional service. And we protect the citizens because that is our duty. So, but then why should we worship Bharat? Then Rishabhadevi is saying, actually worship of Bharat Maharaj will actually, by worshipping Bharat Maharaj, all these things will be achieved. By worshipping Bharat Maharaj, it is equivalent to worshipping me and it is equivalent to protecting the citizens. So basically, the point is that, like, when a person hears from a devotee who is actually acting on behalf of the Supreme Lord, by that, when a person hears from a devotee who is acting on behalf of the Supreme Lord or acting on behalf of the spiritual master, by that one can actually access the mercy of the superiors. So that is the point. So this is basically the real the proof that a person has actually imbibed the association of the great devotees is that actually reflects in our dealings with other devotees in their absence. So I'll stop here. So I think we are running over time. So to summarize, we talked about how in the scriptures it is emphasized about the positive and the negative things, about the association of the devotees and avoiding the association of non-devotees. And we talked about the example of, like, Maitreya Rishi speaking about to Vidura and Parikshit Maharaj inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami. And we talked about how asat sangatyaga, it does not simply mean non-devotees, it includes our own mind and even other things. And we talked about how sometimes one may avoid the association, one may behave harshly, but that may be resulting from one's intolerance. How one can even associate, cooperate with the non-devotees if a person is actually focused on the higher principle, from the example of Akrura. And finally, we talked about the sign of a person who has actually imbibed the association of devotees. So, I think I'll stop here since it is over time. Grantharan Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki chai.